Welcome to Measurably Better Learning, the podcast built for learning and development professionals. Whether you're an instructional designer, L&D professional, or corporate leader, get ready for insights and ideas that will transform your approach to learning, training, and development. So let's dive in.
Welcome to this episode of the Measurably Better podcast. And today, I'm talking with my very good friend, Miriam Taylor, about curriculum mapping. And I think that for all the fun technology and you know, AI and AR and VR and all the rest of it, there are still some core components of curriculum mapping that are absolutely essential to the success of learning. So, Miriam, give us a definition. What do you mean when you say curriculum map? What's going on in your mind when you say that?
Sure. I the interesting thing is in the organizations we work with, once I start to describe it, you know, there's probably lots of different names for it. Roadmap, curriculum map, maybe it's just a plan. But the point of a curriculum map or the purpose that we use it for is to take a complex project. So we're not talking about a simple learning object or asset, like one job aid or a 15-minute e-learning module. We're talking about perhaps a scope, like a leadership curriculum or a, you know, compliance training, anti-money laundering, something like that, a large training. And often what happens is that gets overwhelming and different pieces get updated at different times. And I'm sure we'll talk about that more later, but we have various assets. We're not quite sure what state they're in. They're often unaligned, there might be gaps or redundancies. And so the purpose of a curriculum map is to be organized, and not just organized, but aligned to our company goals and objectives as we create a program of learning of any kind.
Okay. So you've listed length, but I would imagine complexity.
Yeah.
Also, right? You could have something fairly lengthy, but relatively simple. You could have something shorter, but highly complex.
Yeah, absolutely. I think well, with the advent of AI, but even before that, so much learning personalization, and our learners are expecting that. And so we could have a fairly short topic, but pretty complex. And we want to create a personalized experience for our learners. And so we need to map out, if there's a pretest, then perhaps are there multiple routes they can go? And this, I'm not talking branching here, I'm talking at a macro level. You know, if they can test out of certain modules or certain pieces of the learning experience, then where do they need to go next? And if they can't, what kind of remediation do we, and that gets to be just complex to think through. And then if you're on a team with inside a company, you might have different people working on different aspects. So having a one clear map is really helpful to know where you're going.
So what does it look like? Visually, what does it look like? I mean, I'm you know, me well enough to know mine would look like a giant whiteboard
that's
like 10 feet high and 20 feet wide. But what does a curriculum map visually look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it can take multiple forms. We've used a spreadsheet. That depends on often like the audience we're working with. Typically, I prefer to use some kind of visual graphic organizer, like a mural board, or there's lots of other tools as well. So, but something that can allow us to move things around too, right? Because that's often the issue. Okay. We know different topics or different pieces, but then we realize, oh, we have two of those and we need to move things around. So I would usually advocate for something visual, and maybe later that translates into like a spreadsheet of a map.
Yeah, a mural board. I mean, I know I've seen you make really good use of mural boards, and it's like a really cool sticky note.
It is, right?
Thing, right, where you can go, that doesn't really fit here. Let's move that here. And it's, you know, when I've seen you do a curriculum map, at the end you go, oh yeah, this is logical.
Right.
Right. This leads to this, which leads to this, and sometimes either the length or the complexity of the project means, who knows? You just throw it all in a blender and see what comes out, right? This is to get away from that, so that there's a progression.
Right.
Yeah.
And it helps you determine priorities.
Yeah.
And I think, too, with the visual, you can also do color coding, which is very helpful for most participants, I think, to see colors.
Okay. So how do you, how does one know when to use a curriculum map? Or are there instances when you think, We don't need to go through that exercise. We can go straight to storyboard. What are the variables in there that would tell you, yes, we can proceed, or no, let's stop and do this exercise?
Yeah, I think anytime, an instructional design team, you're starting with a needs assessment. And anytime there is confusion around priorities of what should come first, or if it's immediately bubbling to the surface that there's redundancies.
Or sometimes there's five other people in the room.
Misaligned stakeholders, exactly.
And in all of their minds, it's crystal clear what needs to happen, except it's five different things. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I would say that, curriculum map is not new in the industry, but the reason that we often use it is we will have clients come to us with a lot of confusion, and they're worried, and everything was supposed to be done yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you can see sort of the relief as you're like, nope, don't worry. We have a plan. This is what we're going to do. When you're done, you're going to have a step-by-step path. It's just a way, it's a graphic organizer at its basic level. Yeah,
visualization. Mm-hmm. And we've seen these too. I mean, there's sometimes when you have some different people that are misaligned as to what you're trying to achieve or in what order it should be. But we've also seen this when there are mergers and acquisitions.
Two
companies coming together, they've got their learning, you've got yours. Somehow what's redundant, or where are there now giant gaps, or where you have learning but it doesn't you have learning, but it doesn't really apply in this new situation. We've seen that a number of times.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I think, when we have aging curriculum, and we're seeing that a lot right now, because when you have times of recession or other times when learning teams, unfortunately, tend to get downsized, you will run with curriculums that go, they're way too old. But now the question is, well, which part do we update? What's priority? All of that. So an aging curriculum is another argument for creating a curriculum map.
Okay. Well, we'll come back in part two, and we'll keep our conversation going.
Sounds great.
Imagine a world where every training session, every learning module, and every translated document is aligned with your company's unique goals and global ambitions. Welcome to Ingenuity, where we don't just talk about elevating your corporate learning, we make it happen. At Ingenuity, we understand the heart of your business is its people. That's why we specialize in creating custom learning solutions and translation services that are not just effective, but are designed specifically for your business's global needs. Let us show you how learning cannot be just better, but measurably better, with solutions tailored just for you. Learn more in the description below.
Welcome back. I'm talking with my friend, Miriam Taylor, and we are talking about the engaging topic of curriculum mapping, and maybe better put, the essential topic of curriculum mapping. So what are some key topics when somebody's going through this that need to be addressed as you're creating and thinking through a curriculum map?
Yeah, so a curriculum map, if we think of visualizing it, and I think we're going to have something on the screen for our listeners to, our viewers to see, but typically probably 7 or 8 columns and then 3 or 4 rows. And these are going to vary depending on your particular program and need. But some of the important ones that often get missed in the learning team, right? Because I do this all the time. If we build it, they will come, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so amazing. Like, I don't need to worry about the companies.
If only that were true.
I know, exactly. So I would say the very first column, one of the very first or several columns, need to be business goals, organizational goals, any key KPIs, anything like that has to be first.
Do you think learning teams are familiar enough, not with their own objectives and goals, but do you think they're aware of overall business goals, overall organizational goals, not in small businesses, but I mean, some of our clients have hundreds of thousands of employees. They have, dozens, and in some cases, many dozens of global locations. They're publicly traded. They're Fortune 50 or Fortune 500. There's a need to understand those overall business objectives that sometimes seems to be missing in learning teams. Do you see that?
I do. I mean, in the larger companies, there is typically a CLO or maybe a CHRO, obviously. Whether And those people have a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. Whether that always gets translated to perhaps a certain business unit's
right.
individual learning team doesn't always happen. But that's why I think it's incumbent upon the learning team to put that first. And if they don't know, they need to go find out. Because that's how you make yourself really like indispensable to the right. company. If you can map everything to the business goal,
always pointing back.
That's right. You're going to have budget for the next year if you can prove how you're improving and meeting business goals.
Yeah. Where do stakeholders in the development of a curriculum map, beginning, middle, end? I think I know the answer to this, but where does the stakeholder conversation happen?
I think the stakeholder conversation happens first.
Okay.
Or right after, because if you know your business goals, you know what your key stakeholders are, and or you at least know where to look for them,
right?
And make sure you're not missing any. You know, sometimes you can have too many cooks in the kitchen, and I get that. Yeah. So maybe before you have a curriculum mapping session, maybe you're just getting stakeholders together and coming to some sort of buy-in before you get to this level. Mm-hmm. But stakeholders come really, you know, very close to the beginning. And then you're looking at maybe some smaller, like departmental values and goals for the year, if it's for a smaller department. But eventually you have to get to, right, like your topics. And that's where you start to list the topics. What are the content? What's the content in this program? And what are the objectives?
Yeah. You mentioned something interesting. I hadn't really thought about that. Values, right? We talk about business objectives, and that naturally in my mind is a number.
I know it is.
Right? It's accounting. Yeah, we've known each other a long time, right? That's an accounting feature. In my mind, those are business objectives. But you just, if your learning ties into those, great, and it should. But also it reinforces the company's values, stated, clear, probably publicly known values. Talk about that a little bit. I really like that idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all been a part of organizations, unfortunately, or seen them where there's like values listed on the wall and nobody could name them. You know, we don't know. We just walk past them every day. So honestly, one of the key components, I believe, to a really robust learning culture is being able to be a tool for the company to pull those values through everything. Because as people are learning, they're seeing those values. So maybe your curriculum mapping highlights, for example, compliance training, right? Nobody likes it. We all have to do it. Mm-hmm. But if I can tell the story and explain the why, this is why we're doing this compliance training, because it's a value of our company. We want to keep you safe, right? Or we need to keep our clients' money safe, or their employees safe, or whatever the situation is. Now I understand the bigger picture, and I'm interested as a learner in going through the compliance training because it ties to the value. Why am I a part of this company, and what do we value?
You mentioned learning culture. It's one of those things very hard to measure, very hard to clearly state what it is, but you know it when you're in it, a good one, and you also know it when you're in a bad one. How does curriculum mapping connect to the creation or enhancement of a learning culture?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing that it does is it creates an organized plan for learning, which might sound like, well, who really cares, right? It's in a spreadsheeter. But here's the thing. If I'm a learner, I'm an employee, and I can tell that somebody just slapped something together, or you're assigning me learning, and the one I watched this week is literally the exact same as last week because, or there's redundancies or there's gaps, I don't feel valued. I don't feel like my time is valued. And that spreads out right to my, you know, maybe my department or the larger business unit. And so if we have a clear plan as a learning team, and we can let members of the organization know, here's why we're doing it. Here's the plan. Here's how it fits. I mean, as humans, right, we need to make sense of things.
Right.
And I feel valued now.
There's a mental
There's
map.
There's a plan. Exactly.
You've explained the purpose.
Yep.
You've explained how this is going to go. And I know how to experience it. Well, this is this podcast is part one.
Yeah.
Because there are more things to say
about
curriculum mapping. And so we invite you to tune in to part two. And I look forward to that conversation.
Thank you,
Miriam.
Thank you.
Before we wrap up the show, if you're looking to dive deeper, we've got tons of free downloads, L&D resources, and details about upcoming webinars that you won't want to miss. They're found in the episode description. Plus, if you ever want to chat with either one of us, now's your chance. You can find links in the episode description to connect directly with Miriam or me. We're here to answer your questions and to discuss all things learning and development. And speaking of questions, we love hearing from you. Whether it's a question or a comment or a topic you're curious about, or if you just want to join the conversation, drop us a comment on your favorite social media channel. Your input shapes our shows. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. It's the best way to ensure you never miss out on our latest episode. We're excited to continue to transform learning into a measurable success with you. Until next time.